calypso, samba, salsa, reggae, and others. The event will feature the bands Jujuba, Levinas Huesa, Super Mocaco, Roots Revolution, and others. The festival will be held on November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the TAQ Center, 631 Northeast Grand Avenue, Portland, from 7 p.m. until 2:30 a.m. Come dance for three nights straight at the Afro-Caribbean All Music Festival, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. More information can be found on the right-hand side of the KABU.FM website under Community Events.
KPFA brings the listening public the other point of view.
There was a strong sense that this was the beginning of something that would spread across the country.
On Sunday, November 3rd, at the historic Hollywood Theater, KABU presents an exclusive benefit screening of the film KPFA On the Air.
This documentary tells the powerful story of the beginnings of listener-sponsored radio in the United States with the birth of Pacifica in Berkeley in 1949.
KPFA On the Air chronicles the origins of the free speech movement, the first stirrings of the student movements at Berkeley, and opposition to the Vietnam War in the early 1960s.
Eventually spawning a network of free-form, independent radio stations across the country, including KABU, which came on the air in 1968. So come join us at the Hollywood Theater, Northeast 41st and Sandy Boulevard, Sunday, November 3rd, at 7 in the evening.
Help keep community radio strong and thriving into the future.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
It's 8:03 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today, cold, hungry, and in the dark, exploding the natural gas supply myth. We are live with author Bill Powers. Bill, welcome to KBOO.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Bill, your book is rocking my world, okay? I'd like to work through the issues you're raising with cold, hungry, and in the dark in the context of the work that more and more people in our local community here in Portland area, Southwest Washington, are doing around global climate change. We have many people from Portland Rising Tide. We've got people from 350.org. And I'm putting this out to you, listeners. This is the perfect handbook around energy industry information to inform your activism. And Bill, though, I want to start out, tell us about you. I mean, sir, I don't feel like you're a bleeding heart liberal do-gooder on this issue. So I'm putting that on the table. Bill, this book, it's incredible. How did you come to this issue?
Okay, well, I mean, firstly, I'll talk a little bit about my background. I mean, I'm come from a background of finance. I've written about the, as well as an analyst background. I've written about the oil and gas industry for about 15 years, and for my own. And this book got started about 4 years ago as I was researching shale gas and kind of more on the investment implications of shale gas. And I really wanted to see whether many of the big proclamations that were being made by industry, government, academia were actually true. And it turns out they were, far from being accurate. And, you know, many of the answers that I found in this book really surprised me. I mean, that ended up being put into the book, really shocked me as far as how grandiose some of the claims have turned out to be.
Grandiose is right. And on that, I just want to say, again, for listeners, we've been watching the Port of Vancouver here in our area, Vancouver, Washington. We've been watching them play footsie with construction of a gigantic oil terminal that would take fracked gas from the Bakken oil field and make it possible to export it. I think that the idea is that they're going to export the gas from Vancouver down to Southern California, where it's refined or something like that. And we saw last week a lawsuit prompted the port to nullify the vote to build that oil terminal. But then they held another meeting yesterday and they voted again and again approved the gigantic oil terminal in the Port of Vancouver. So we're live on the phone with Bill Powers. We're talking about cold, hungry, and in the dark. But this is an issue that is in our yards, okay? Just want to be crystal clear about that. And Bill, you know, talk a little bit, in a couple minutes, we're going to go and talk with friends of ours in the Palace of Pledge about how people can get a copy of your book. But can you talk a little bit about why is this issue crucial right now? I mean,
okay, certainly. It's crucial to everybody simply because if shale gas does not meet our need for supply over the next couple decades, and it's now around 40% of U.S. supply, and we have built many gas-fired power plants. We increasingly rely on natural gas to heat our homes, generate electricity. It's very important for the production of food and many, many things that we consume in our everyday lives. And really, the thesis of the book is very straightforward. It is that this 100-year supply of largely that will come from shale gas, it is a complete and total myth. I have gone through every one of the large gas plays in the U.S. and have come to the conclusion that the U.S. will have about 6 or 7 years of shale gas, not 100, and we will see rising prices over the next several years. And this is going to have a big impact on our economy, on people's consumer confidence, and it's going to have a very big impact on, you know, everybody's pocketbook, because you are going to be faced with rising electricity costs, rising home heating costs, and it's a very, very important subject.
Mm. And after we let people know how they can get a copy of that book, we are going to come back, Bill Powers, and talk to you about the gas crisis in the 1970s. Because I was a little kid then, and I remember the government saying, conserve fuel. And we're not hearing that now. So, but anyway, we are in a second going to go back to Ivan and Ani there in the Palace of Pledge. But before we go to them, I want to make a pitch too. Look, people, this is a banner year for KBOO Community Radio. My name is Lisa Loving. I have been a volunteer here since 1990. I have spent a lot of my life in this building, and this is one of the most important resources that touches the lives of every single person that lives in the wonderful Cascadia bioregion. I'm putting that out, and I think that you know that. If you're listening right now, you're hardcore, and we need you to make a contribution. And so Ivan and Ani are going to let you know how to get a copy of Cold, Hungry, and in the Dark. There's also a special gift for the first person that walks in with $100.
There's so much to say, Lisa. Thank you so much. I'm Ani. I'm here with Ivan.
Hardcore.
And we are, in fact, hardcore about news and public affairs and loving community and trying to do right by the planet, you know? So Lisa has this interview this morning going on right now. Cold, Hungry, and in the Dark is the book that they are discussing. And if you would like a copy of Bill Powers' book, Cold, Hungry, and in the Dark, you can pledge your support to KBOO right now. You can contribute at a $60 per year level. And you can get a copy of that book and as our thank you for joining KBOO anew or renewing your membership today at 877-500-5266. You can do that as a one-time gift on your credit card, just a charge of $60 or more when you call 877-500-5266. Well, let us know that you're there You care. You really want to do something about climate change. You want to provide information to your friends and family. You can really have this discussion continue in the community. That's what we need. That's what we're here for. We are your information resource to inspire and broaden public discourse, really, within the community so that we can take concerted social change sort of actions together and, you know, co-create the world. That's what we're here about.
Come in person, though.
Oh, well, if you come in person...
Yes.
Ivan, what could somebody get?
Oh, man. It's a special day here at KBOO. If you come down to 20 Southeast 8th and pledge $100, you would be the first person to receive the one and only God Reigns Lutheran Women's...
Rain poncho. I think it's purple inside the bag.
Yeah, we think it's purple inside the bag. It's in a little plastic bag. And
but Lisa hasn't opened it, so we're not sure.
That right.
No.
It's hermetically sealed.
We love
sealed.
The Lutheran yeah. women. We love the Lutheran
we
congregations
do.
That we have in our area. So wonderful. And this poncho came from a national conference a few years ago. And I think it's a bright purple inside there. But what we're trying to do, listeners, is get you down here to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th. We have gifts that we'll give you right now when you join, and you'll also get discounts for the rest of the year with your KBOO membership card, which now that is a hard plastic card with lots of colors on it, which is cool.
It's a part of the support line system.
Awesome.
Anyway, 877-500-5266, the number to call. We are looking to raise $750 this morning during talk radio, and we can do it with your support. Just give us a call right now, and you can get, again, excuse me, the copy of Cold, Hungry, and in the Dark for your $60 level contribution at 877-500-5266, or coming on down in person with your $100 contribution. We'd give you a tour of the station. We'd give you a cup of coffee. We'd talk to you about community radio and all manner of things.
There's pastries from Grendel's,
yeah. And you, if you are the first person down, could pick up the God Reigns Rain Poncho. Just
so
want to say...
Down.
20 Southeast 8th. That's
right
the address.
On. Okay, and so we're bringing it back to Bill Powers because this book, Cold, Hungry, and in the Dark, you know, we interview a lot of authors on these airwaves. This is a fascinating book, and I really think people should absolutely pick it up, no matter how you pick it up. Even if you're going to go to the library, do it. Bill, I mean, this book is divided into four parts. I'm just saying roughly four parts. Part one is about the gas crisis, and I'd like to talk about that. Part two, natural gas demand, right? Part three is we will not produce our way out of the next crisis. Now, that's going to be a big deal, and I want to talk about that as relates to the Port of Portland development plan that they have coming out for West Haden Island. And then the last part is what should be done. We don't want to skimp on that part. So, Bill Powers, talk about the 70s gas crisis. Is this going to happen again? Is it different from now? What happened then?
Well, basically, what happened during the 1970s is we saw, really, for the first time since World War II in the modern natural gas industry that we now know with the interstate pipeline system, we saw demand outstrip supply. And as early as the first half of 1970, we saw steel plants begin to get cut off due to lack of gas supply. And this was a period of a very rapid economic growth in the United States. And we saw this was really set off the beginning of a natural gas crisis during the 70s. Many people, when they think of the gas crisis, they think of, you know, lines for cars and whatnot. But we also had natural gas prices go up 13-fold in between 1973 and 1984. We had production go down 20%. And we had hundreds of thousands of people lose their jobs because of plant closings. We had schools closed. We had a note in my book from that's a copy of a letter that was sent to the U.S. Mint that was reducing its consumption of natural gas when
I remember that part too. Yeah,
to make money because there was the gas prices were so high. So what I really want to stress is that in the 70s, even though prices went up, production went down, and the way the U.S. got out of rebalanced the market by the mid-80s was building hundreds of coal-fired power plants, dozens of nuclear power plants, and there was a law change called the Fuel Use Act in 1978 that was signed by President Carter that really required industrial consumers to switch from clean-burning natural gas back to fuel oil in many cases, and it outlawed the building of new natural gas-fired power plants. And so it was a very difficult time for the gas market, and many of the what led up to the 70s was increasing consumption and largely production was able to keep up with it. But when that reversed and demand outstripped supply, things got really out of whack, and that's what I see happening in the next few years here.
Talk about this idea of the supply scramble and then the people that are coming in and saying, shale, it's the shale revolution. I mean, I know that there are governments and jurisdictions all over the world that are saying, oh, look, I got a pile of shale over here. We're going to have oil then. And they just start throwing money at the rock. Talk about that, the scramble for the supply scramble and what these shale pushers, let's call them shale pushers, what are they doing?
Okay, well, it's funny you say that because I just got back from Europe last week to talk to, I spoke in Amsterdam and then in Brussels, and there's several countries in the European Union that are right now trying to repeat the American experience with shale gas, and I shared with them, my understanding of the U.S. shale experience and many of what's gone on and what I wrote about in the book. But if we look at what happened in the, in between like 2003 and 2010, we saw, or 2008, I should say, we saw rising gas prices, declining production, and this had to do with declining production in the offshore. We saw conventional production peak out, and this was really the beginning of the shale. What we could see is the growth of the modern shale industry, where technology development and high prices had allowed for really the unlocking of many previously off-limits shale reservoirs. There was not the technology to get the shale out at a reasonable cost, and we were able to do that in several shale plays, such as the Barnett in Texas, the Fayetteville in Arkansas, and the Haynesville. But what I think is very important is that this did succeed in stemming spiraling prices, because prices peaked out at $13 per thousand cubic feet in 2008, and now they're only sub $4 now. But this is not a sustainable price, today's price. And then I will go into, we could talk about some of the reasons why prices are low, and but more importantly, the shale, modern shale industry, we've seen four of the six largest shale fields already go into decline. So the sustainability of current production is just not there. And this is going to lead to many changes in the very near future.
Okay, and I just want to be crystal clear that when we're talking about shale, we're talking about that yucky fracked junk.
Correct. I mean, correct.
Those are my value statements on that.
Okay, yes. I mean, shale gas, just so everybody's crystal clear, the only way to get it out of the ground is to hydraulically fracture it.
Right. And so I think a lot of the KBOO listeners are familiar with what that involves. And we are going to take some few minutes now, again, to let our listeners get a copy of Bill Power's book. This book, what I value about it is it's very specific. So if you're out there and you're debating people about fracked gas, energy in general, right? Energy markets. He just digs into all these states, like the declines of the states around their energy programs. I really cannot promote this book enough. Mine has like nibbles on it and stuff because I just started reading it and I just like, this is crazy. I have to call my mother right now about this. Anyway. But I want to go, we want to go back to Ivan and Ani, because look at Portland, Vancouver, Salem, Corvallis, Hood River. We're talking to you now. We want you to come in here and support this programming, because we serve you guys on a silver platter the information you need to make our own local communities a better place. And that's what we're asking you to support.
Indeed, and you can support it easily by dialing 877-500-5266. You are hearing some great reasons right now why community radio is well worth your support. You are listening to Lisa Loving, as you do every Wednesday morning here on KBOO 8 to 9 o'clock on the talk radio strip, Progressive Talk Radio, here in the Portland area for
every
low
weekday.
Many many years every weekday, just as Lisa said. And it's worth your support because this is information that broadens the discourse in the community. That's how we keep each other informed and inspired and engaged in the struggle to actually, well, you know, do good things and co-create the world anew. 877-500-5266 is the number to call this morning to support all of that, support your access to this kind of information. For that $60 contribution, you have the option of getting your copy of Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark, Exploding the Natural Gas Supply Myth. You're hearing the interview now with Bill Powers, and as Lisa said, a very important book that's accessible, that breaks things down, that in fact keeps information going through your life and therefore through your community's life. It's important that we access that information, and one of the keys to your access is KABU. Go ahead and support us at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Come in person and get the God Reigns rain poncho from the awesome Lutheran women who we love so much. You know, Multnomah County just came out with a climate change plan. Was it the week before last? One of the things that's going to happen is we're going to have heat waves all summer, and it's going to rain all winter. Mm-hmm. You're going to need that God Reigns thing. Saying.
Yeah, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. And, you know, to note that it's spelled G-O-D-R-E-I-G-N-S, God Reigns,
huh?
And it rains, R-A-I-N-S.
It's so clever.
It's incredible. It's incredible, the cleverness of the Lutheran women.
But, we love them. And we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. You have to come here in person, give us $100, and you get that beautiful, I believe it's a purple poncho. And I just really support that. I'm excited about it.
But you know what else? You know what else?
Yeah.
For a $60 contribution, I want to let people know you could get a pair of tickets to KPFA on the air.
That's going to be such a great show.
So this is going to be a screening of the documentary KPFA on the Air, which actually tells the story of KPFA, which was the very first community radio station. It's part of the Pacifica Network, the national network now. But it was the very first community radio station. And it tells the story of how community radio came into being, why Defiance is our middle name. It tells the story of how we are, in fact, activist-oriented and activist-driven and volunteer-powered and people-funded. It tells all of that and the importance of independent media. And then there's going to be this cool panel afterwards where you can actually get into a discussion around community radio, around KABU and KPFA, our ties and our how it is that we have been a part of this movement for lo these 20 years.
And that's at the Hollywood Theater?
45 years.
Hollywood Theater.
Local neighborhood theater.
Mm-hmm. November 3rd. $60 contribution on your credit card at 877-500-5266, and you can get a pair of tickets to that benefit screening, that discussion, that really fabulous night celebrating community radio, November 3rd, Hollywood Theater. And you can join KABU right now and support community radio.
That's
right?
The exciting part right there, joining community radio, joining KABU. You know, a lot of cities used to be built on a idea of a centralized community square, a gathering place for people to go. KABU.
You know what? The gathering place for people to go and argue about Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark. I'm just pushing this book.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
What I love about this book is like what Ivan was just starting to say is that this is our freewheeling debate zone for our ideas and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And what I value about KABU is that it's like a spigot of thoughts. It's a spigot of information and ideas.
I love
ideas.
That word.
I love that word. And what I really love about this book, Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark, is that I'm just saying this again. Bill Powers, he's coming out of the money industry sort of a thing. He's not a grassroots community activist like the president says he was at some time. You know, people, there's stereotypes about who comes on the air at KABU. There's stereotypes about who's part of our community, but you would be amazed.
You'd be shocked.
How many places, how many people, how many local small businesses have a piece in this community. And, you know, we honor so many different points of view. And this book, I'm saying, $60 minimum pledge, that's only $5 a month. Come on! You know, you can't even hardly get a cup of coffee for that much anymore in Portland.
It's that's very true, actually.
877-500-5266.
Which is not to say that you shouldn't get a cup of coffee. It is to say that you should look at how one spends one's money. Couch change, really, at this point, can amount to $5 a month, I'm pretty sure. And if you shake down your couch and maybe you go to a friend's house and shake down their couch, too, you know, maybe you want to actually join us at $10 a month or $15 a month. What you can afford, and I suggest you give an hour's wage.
An
Per month, if you are able to give 1 hour's wage per month, it evens out the contributions throughout the community. It is a vital way to actually work for your community and keep in mind that we are here together and that KBOO is one of those connecting points, communities of the airwaves that actually can inspire action and form action. Mm-hmm. And I've watched that connectivity really happen over the 25 years I've been involved right there along with Lisa. We've grown up together here at KBOO.
So we're bringing the show back to the show, but 877-500-5266. It is funny how we've all actually even been in the streets together before. But anyway, we are back with Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark, Exploding the Natural Gas Supply Myth. We're live on the phone with Bill Powers. And Bill, you know, so we talked about the shale pushers. I'm really interested in part two of the book, U.S. Natural Gas Demand, an increasingly inelastic demand curve. This issue of the liquefied natural gas, you know, this stuff is fascinating. Talk about that. What do you mean, increasingly inelastic demand curve?
Okay, because one of the things, like I talked about earlier, was that in the 1970s, the way the market rebalanced itself and that prices stopped spiraling was that a lot of demand was destroyed. And the way it was done was that the U.S. really reduced the amount of gas that was burned in electric generation plants for natural gas. And so that was one way. The other way was reduced manufacturing consumption. But now we are heavily dependent on prior to the 1970s natural gas crisis, we consumed about 17% of, or 18% of all natural gas all electricity came from natural gas. Now it's well over 30. It's close to 35% of electricity in this country comes from natural gas. So the ability for us, for the U.S. to destroy demand will be very difficult. And also because we've also now seen somewhat of the beginnings of what I consider, and I talk about this in the book, is a manufacturing renaissance in the U.S. in the sense that numerous companies are now finding that offshoring did not work for a lot of reasons. The costs overseas are soaring, transportation costs are rising, intellectual property rights are not respected overseas. So many companies are now moving manufacturing back into the United States. And we've also seen a pickup in manufacturing of fertilizers and chemicals in the United States because of the low gas prices. So the ability to destroy demand is very hard. And this is going to, you know, really make it hard to, when prices do start rising significantly and at a very rapid rate, to slow that down. And that's sort of what I mean by the inelastic demand curve.
And this is interesting because I mentioned this before, the Port of Portland here, you know, where we live, they have this reserve. It's called West Hayden Island, and it's an undeveloped, it's like the last undeveloped chunk of nature in our area, sort of. We have this thing called Forest Park, but it's a park. This here, West Hayden Island, is considered to be an industrial zone. And some people call it pristine. It's not exactly pristine, but it's never been built on before. So the Port of Portland is citing what you just said, the perceived manufacturing renaissance, also connected to the what Bill Wyatt, the director of the port, calls the energy revolution. And he's saying, and I mean, I do love his vision. I think it's beautiful in a lot of ways. He's saying that we should take 300 acres out of the 800 acres of West Hayden Island and turn it into a food exporting terminal. And what he's really specifically looking at is the wheat that comes from Eastern Oregon, right? And he's basically saying that, you know, wheat is going to be one of the big boom products of the future, okay? And so he's pitching this concept of a big built out thing there at West Hayden Island, where still 500 acres would be parkland. They would keep it park, they would develop it as a park, and people could actually go there. And so to me, that's such a fascinating hook. You're saying you want jobs. This is one of the last places you can make manufacturing because of these opportunities with the shale oil and the manufacturing renaissance that you just mentioned. But in order to get that, in order to turn the rest of this into a park, you have to destroy this part of it, which fascinates me a lot. So, I mean, I'm wondering, Bill Powers, are there other places around the United States where people are looking at the same sort of a trade-off or ideas about how to build out their what they might consider to be their last manufacturing zones?
Well, we've seen, for example, in the U.S. here, in Iowa, near not that far from, I live in Illinois, and you know, on the banks of the Mississippi, one of the biggest fertilizer plants in the world is being built right on in western Iowa along the banks of the Mississippi by an Egyptian company. This is also due to the fact that the U.S. has become increasingly reliant on imported fertilizer over the last number of years. So there's a number of things that are changing. I mean, one of the biggest things in the U.S. that we've seen is the rapid cost of manufacturing overseas, because wages have really gone up overseas. And we have, for this is a completely different subject, but relatively flat wages, stagnant wages here in the United States. And we have, but more importantly, the cost of like I mentioned earlier, to transport things, it's all bunker fuel, and bunker fuel is basically based off the price of Brent oil. And so we've seen it, when Brent oil is $110, the cost of transporting something from Asia to the U.S. or to North America becomes much more expensive than it was 5 or 10 years ago. So we've seen, and we have a very skilled workforce here in the United States that's being underutilized. So many people are recognizing that, and probably the biggest example that I could come up with is Walmart, and they made a big announcement that they want to start I think it's about a $50 billion a year initiative to buy from U.S.-based manufacturers, and this is a big push they're making because they have found that people like to buy things that are made in the United States, and for Walmart, which is kind of the king of supply chain management, or some people call it squeezing suppliers, they have found that this is this makes a lot of sense for a lot of people involved. So this is a trend that I see happening, but this is going to make another big push for demand for gas over the next decade or so. So this is going to keep prices high, but not to skip ahead, but there's a lot that can be done to offset some of these things.
This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're live on the phone with Bill Powers. His book, Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark, Exploding the Natural Gas Supply Myth, available to you for a $60 minimum pledge during the membership drive. But we still have a few minutes to go before we go to the Palace of Pledge. And, here's the other thing. This is crazy, but Bill, the more you talk, the more you're just turning on lights over my head. Today, this is Wednesday. Today, at the Walmart, there's a new Walmart opening off MLK in Northeast Portland. Seriously, it's right across the levee from Snoozy's Hollow, my favorite place, Snoozy's. They're having a green roof tour for media. And in the press release, it said no high heels. It just cracked me up. Anyway, that's a media tour. Anyway, but Bill, actually, I'm feeling stressed out now. I do want to talk about what can be done. Let's jump there a little bit. As we're talking about, you're talking about the markets, and we think when we are looking at our global climate change activist friends and associates, they're talking about the environmental impact. A lot of people don't want to wrap their brains around how the market works, right? But talk a little bit about what are some of the solutions that you're saying. What should we be doing?
Sure. Firstly, the last portion of my book, I dedicate a whole chapter to what can be done. And really, there's numerous things. One is to kind of get beyond, is to really, for we as a nation need to recognize that we do not have a 100-year supply of shale gas, and that this is a depleting resource that is, and that there's for a very temporary period, is going to be priced at very low levels, which it currently is compared to oil and compared to other forms of energy. But gas prices will rise, and they will rise violently in the next several years. So we need to recognize that, and then really embrace renewables, efficiency, And many of the things that I talk about are that in the book are off-the-shelf possibilities to reduce the amount of natural gas we consume, such as solar, residential solar, distributed power. I think there's a huge distributed power revolution happening right now in California. It's the residents who want to sell to their neighbors versus the incumbent utilities, and this is a going to be a fight to the death for the utilities, because as people opt out of the grid and you know, go to solar panels with storage, and try to set up cooperatives in their local areas to sell to basically the local community. This is something the utilities do not want to see happen. So this is a big revolution that is just getting started due to rising electricity prices throughout a lot of the West Coast markets and the advances in technology. I mean, we've seen the price of solar panels come down massively in the last 5 years. I think by about 80%, we've seen efficiency rise. So they're at what we now would call grid parity in many markets, such as in San Diego and elsewhere. And the advances in technology will even make less sunny places like Portland at grid parity before, you know, too long. And so this is one thing. Geothermal heating and cooling systems, increased efficiency is a big one. And those are all alternatives that we can use. Smart grid, such as not building what are called peaker plants, which are natural gas power plants that run only a few days a year, using grid battery storage to shave off the peaks through stored electricity. Those are advances in technology that are available today that are in use. And so, you know, these are all things that could greatly reduce our consumption of gas and will make the coming gas crisis much less bad than it otherwise would have been. Mm.
And listeners, please pay attention to this issue and pay attention to Portland Rising Tide, what people are doing in the Columbia River and in the Vancouver, Port of Vancouver, because where I'm just telling you, I'm a reporter and I interview these elected officials, these public officials, and where they are at right now is in their bubble, which actually Bill Powers calls magical thinking, their bubble of magical thinking that what people say is, I say, are you sure there's 100 years worth of gas left? And what my friends in Wyoming, what my friends in Azerbaijan at Socor, you know, the state oil company, said was, the technology progresses. They're pretending as if there's some magic wand that's going to make endless fuel. And definitely people, it's you listeners that are on the cutting edge of this with the help of incredible people like Bill Powers and his book Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, Paul Rowland hosts a discussion of the Canadians who are rising up against gas fracking in New Brunswick. People, I have to say this word. You need to learn this word. Elsipogtog, okay? I don't know if I'm saying it right. Elsipogtog. Check it out. Those Canadian First Nations people, right? It's the First Nations people. It's the Indigenous people. They had, last Thursday, dozens of people were arrested after Molotov cocktails were thrown at officers and police vehicles were torched in New Brunswick. And that is what Paul Rowland is talking about. Same issue. Our pals in Canada. At 10 here, Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 here, Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on the Recovery Zone, host Stephanie Potter speaks with Gar Alperovitz about democratizing wealth, building a community-sustaining economy from the ground up. His new book is What Then Can We Do? Straight talk about the next American Revolution. And I am going to suggest that now is the time that people need to go to your pocket, pull out your phone, dial 877-500-5266. You need to get a copy of this book, man. You really do. You know what? You come in person, I'll give you my copy. But you really need to get this book. So I do think that we should be going out to our pals, Ivan and Ani. Are we ready out there?
Oh, we're so ready.
Right on.
So ready.
Right on.
You know, and I want to start out this morning here giving you the number so you can call in 877-500-5266 and you can get a copy of Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark by Bill Powers. You're hearing the interview this morning with Lisa Loving. And you can call in your support at $60 or more and know that you have a copy of this reserved. And I also wanted to start out this morning by thanking some folks who have renewed or become members of KBOO.
Yay!
So there's Shelley, a new member in Salem. Thank you, Shelley.
Yay.
And Paul of Stevenson. Thank you so much, Paul, for renewing.
Is it Stevenson, Washington?
Yes.
Ooh. Yay!
And then there's also Henry.
Malala.
I love Henry.
Yay, Henry and Malala, renewing membership. Thank you all so much for supporting KBOO this morning. We need to raise about $650 more, and we can do it right now with your support. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Yeah, you know, this book is really important. It's really important that everybody be aware of what's happening with our power sources. Without power, where would we be? We'd be in the dark.
Remember when the power grid went out on the East Coast those few years ago, though?
Yes.
And everybody
yes.
went out and played dominoes and made friends with their neighbors. No offense.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that. But let's face facts. Also, power has become an essential part of, well, so many processes in our lives.
Mm-hmm. It's also a power lever for the elected officials. And I think that that's something that people also are well aware of. And pick up this book. Come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Come on, man. Come and get it.
Yeah, and this poncho here is waiting for you as well. The rains are going to come, and you know they say if when the global warming thing happens, Portland Northwest is going to get a lot more rain. So you're going to need
if on that one, but it's already happening.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. We need you need a poncho.
So
to
the
cover
Lutheran
your head.
Women's rain poncho, God mm-hmm. rains. It's mm-hmm. true. Lisa has brought it in and made it an offering this morning to you, the very first listener that comes in right now, supporting us at 20 Southeast 8th to the tune of about $100 or more, supporting your entire community, meeting the folks that make radio happen, getting a tour of the station, finding out exactly how your money is spent here. It's, you know, a way to actually be a part of your radio station. Jump onto the other side of the speakers mm-hmm. at 20 Southeast 8th this morning and really see how you can participate in community media. If that's not convenient for you, then just pick up your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266. You can sustain us in a monthly way by contributing $5 a month or more. I suggest you give an hour's wage every month. It's a pretty easy way to sort of even out contribution levels throughout our community so that we can all sort of do this together in a way that makes sense. I think that's a great way to support KBOO. Maybe right now you can go ahead and give us at that level your financial support. That's 877-500-5266. If it works out easier for you to give us a contribution all at once and you don't want to think about a monthly sort of deduction, well, that's just fine too. We would love to take your one-time contribution. Anything from $20 or more makes you a member of community radio. And let me say that that is actually an important thing. It's not just some, we want your money and that's about it. No, we want your input. We have member participatory advisory committees to govern the station. Sometimes those play very vital roles in actually keeping KBOO Absolutely. Grassroots. And you, my friend, play a very vital role right now. By actually giving us some financial support, that keeps us grassroots too, because you indeed are that support system. You are our grassroots.
Okay, and so we need to bring this show back. We need to bring the show back. 877-500-5266. Listeners, now you need to make those phones ring now, okay? Because we're all over here volunteering, and we have something that we're giving, but we need people to step up and support it. We actually have a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Helen on the phone. Is that right? Alan, what's going on?
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening here to your show this morning and about these energy sources, and it's kind of interesting. A couple months ago, representative from Northwest Natural Gas dropped by my house, and they're saying that they have this new program, you know, this carbon offsets, you know.
The Blue Sky Energy Program.
Basically, you get extra money from
that. Yeah, it's not new, actually. Yeah, there's something, I don't mean to be negative about it, but there's something sketchy about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I haven't found it out yet. But what they're talking about is they're down in Tillamook, they're creating these big, huge digesters that, you know, take cow poo and basically digest it and create gas. And they're talking about running this gas into the natural gas distribution line systems and or generating electricity using this gas. I think PGE already has a pilot project. They're powering about 10,000 homes or something with gas created from digested, cow.
All right. So thanks a lot. I got it. Thanks a lot for calling. And it makes me want to ask you, Bill Powers, do you know of any local energy utilities around the country that are blazing a trail with different kinds of energy or different approaches? Because what he just said about the manure, that was pretty radical.
Yes, I mean, probably an example of a company that's making a transition from traditional forms of generation to new forms is NRG Energy in Houston, Texas. The guy who runs the utility drives two electric cars. He is a big believer that we are moving towards a really kind of a post-carbon form of power sources, and he is slowly moving his company away from gas-fired power plants, coal-fired power plants, into renewables. And that's something that I think is a very important transition, because the price of carbon-based fuels is going to go up, and the impact of carbon-based fuels is going to go up. And this is something that I think should be happening with all utilities, not the incumbent utilities in California who want to fight the distributed power revolution. But that is just one example of that I think is that should be happening. And because I think, the incumbent utilities, and there's many groups out there that want to marginalize what I consider the renewable revolution that's happening, and because it's not that profitable for them. They need to become in my opinion, there really needs to be awareness that residential solar with storage now makes sense in many, many parts of the country. And the fact that these utilities in many areas have pushed up prices and over the last decade that have really caused a lot of people additional financial hardship, and this is because they live in regulated markets, and it's political. It's a very political process to get these rate increases, but that's what they've managed to do. So those are all things that I think are, will become even more important because as gas prices rise, electricity prices are going to really go up, and we will really see some big changes.
Mm. And here's the other thing that made me curious. I actually went to a petrochemical conference earlier this year, and it was really an insider's conference. There were no good do-gooders there either, except, I guess, possibly potentially myself. But what struck me about it was how all the people from the energy industries, BP, they just completely blew off the concept of solar energy. They said, oh, there's no infrastructure for it. And what struck me about it was, unless and until big corporations are going to be able to make big money off those renewables, maybe there won't be a market created. I mean, what do you think about that? What is the role of big corporations in creating the market?
Well, it's basically going to be a creative destruction, which is a famous economist, Austrian economist Joseph Schumpeter wrote quite a bit about, on how it's going to be the companies like Tesla that take market from Mercedes, BMWs, who don't have electric vehicles. And I'll give you, it's funny, when I was overseas, I had the guy, I was over there with a couple environmental groups who asked me to talk, and the guy who put the engagements together was, he's worked for an NGO in Brussels, and it said, and I told him my experience with trying to test drive a Leaf, because I wanted to see what this was about, and I had never driven an electric vehicle before, and the dealers just absolutely didn't want anything to do with that. They wanted to try to sell me an internal combustion car, and it's funny because he had the same experience, the exact same experience, several thousand miles away, and the dealer did not want to sell him a Leaf, and it because basically the dealers make lots and lots of money from cars due to the service, the warranties,
right,
all of that. And electric vehicles, there are very few moving parts. There are no warranties you can buy. So when you walk out of that showroom, or there's actually a Tesla dealer in the mall down the street from me, and when you walk out of the mall and you drive your Tesla home, they may never see you again. There's a good chance they will never see you again. And so you look at it from the standpoint of the dealers are going to fight the electric vehicles, and there was a movie about who killed the electric car that I thought was dumbfounding as far as what it showed. But these are going to be the disruptive technology, and it's not just going to be in electric vehicles. I mean, nowadays, you know, there was to me, this whole thing on range anxiety was utter nonsense, because I couldn't believe the fact that every place that has electricity you could charge a car from, whereas there's 165,000 gas stations in America, which is a lot, but you know, your chances of running out of gas and being somewhere where there's no electricity is far greater.
Hey, so Bill, I got to grab the show from you, and I want to talk about that a little bit later. We have to go to Ani and Ivan, because we really need people to get their disruptive technology on and give us a call.
165,000 gas stations, one KBOO. Who are you going to support, huh? We're unique. You gotta bring it on down here to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and show your support. But donate today. You could get the God Reigns poncho for a $100 donation.
You know you want it, people.
And yes. You're also going to get the book for that, too.
And the book.
I'm going to insist that you get the book.
Get the book, you know, because the book is really going to be what's going to, you know, get you through those dark winter months, because you're going to read about energy. You're going to read about the real cost behind it all.
You're going to read about what the solutions are, and then you're going to go talk to your family and friends about these solutions. And the book is Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark, available for a $60 minimum pledge. That's only $5 a month. You can do that. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. That's where we're at. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. You can think of it as KBOO, or you can think of it as the place where there's pastry and coffee right now.
Oh, indeed.
Oh, yeah, you could. You could think of it like that. You could think of it as the place where you are actually a participating member of the station. You help to govern the station if you choose to do that. You actually are a much valued member of our community, and you could come on down and, again, see us. Go ahead and meet us. We'll give you a tour of the station. We'll show you the equipment. We'll give you a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you about relevant issues in the morning. That's what we do on the air. It's what we do off the air. We're kind of like that. We are your community.
Yes.
You're our community. Goo, 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 joob. Please do reciprocate right now. It's that symbiotic relationship that keeps KBOO independent, and it keeps us strong. $650 is what we're still looking for this morning. We need to raise that in 10 minutes. No joke. So right now is the best time for you to call 877-500-5266. So you can go ahead and get a copy of Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark. It is an incredible book. You know that this is one of those information jam-packed resources that we can, in fact, read and share with our community members, as Lisa says, you know, so we can come up with ideas and solutions to some of these problems, and we can try to enact them together. Collective action gets the goods. And right now, the action that we're asking you to take is supporting your community radio station so that we can continue to bring you analysis, information, news, discussions, and keep things inspired, going, and bubbling here in Cascadia and beyond. 877-500-5266. Online, you can get a hold of us at kboo.fm. Click the Join Now line. It's easy to find. It's right there, bold and blue in the middle of the screen. Can't miss it. Just go to kboo.fm, and you can join us silently and quickly online. If you prefer a little more interaction, you can come down to 20 Southeast 8th. We'd love to meet you this morning. Mm-hmm. That $100 contribution can take the Lutheran Women's God Reigns poncho.
It's purple, I think.
Yes, it's purple.
It's a $3.50 value, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, I do want to really push Bill Powers and his book, Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark. I'm seeing where the DSmog blog did a story about the book and Bill earlier this year. We love the DSmog blog, dsmogblog.com. But, and Steve Horn over there, we love him, too. But, you know, listeners, we're going to give this another 90 seconds, and then we're going to close out this show with our guests. But we come to you 52 weeks a year. Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We'd really love to hear from you now. If you call this show and you have never been a member, do you know what? 877-500-5266. Pay the piper now.
Right now.
All right.
Do it.
No, but give them, you got another minute.
We got another minute.
Yeah, do it.
All right, we're doing it. We're doing it here. We're doing it live.
And we're doing it with you.
Uh-huh.
You are the community that yes. we do it for and with. You are there as our grassroots support. We need to hear from you. It's just basically, it comes down to being that simple. If you are listening right now, and I dare say you are, right?
Right.
Then go ahead and pick up that phone, because you know that KBOO is an important part of your life. You know that KBOO's programming, in fact, has... well, connected with you, has inspired you to action, has inspired you to outrage, has had you talking and thinking with your friends and family, has had you pondering solutions to our problems. And that's well worth your support, because we're radio that makes you think.
Yes.
We don't give you the pablum of corporate fettered news. That's not what we do here, right? We're not here to make you comfortable. We are here, in fact, to inspire and to connect and to build bridges between community. We are independent media. We are independent radio. We are your community. Please do support your community now at 877-500-5266. That $60 contribution level is so important to us. You can do it $5 a month. So easy to do. Little bite-sized chunks.
Just yay, yay, yay.
Like tiny snacks.
I want to thank Ivan and Ani for bravely going to the Pitcher Place, and we're bringing the show back to Bill Powers.
877-500-5266. Get that copy of the book for your $60 pledge now.
You really are going to be, you need to get this book, people. I don't know how you're going to get it, but you need to get it. Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark, Exploding the Natural Gas Supply Myth by Bill Powers. Bill, we have a few more minutes. We've already gone over a bunch of the history of this issue. We've talked a little bit about your suggestions in the book for what people can do. What I want to ask you now is, where do you get information? Do you think that there's a really good source of information on this issue that our listeners should be checking?
As far as, you know, they can follow me on Twitter at, which is @BillPowers1970. They can go out to the Post Carbon Institute website, and they can just Google that. That's some very, very good information. Dave Hughes makes contributions to that, who's also done a lot of work on shale gas, and really those are probably, and they could go out to my website, which is bill-powers.com. Really the best place would be just follow me on Twitter, and I have a lot of good links that I put to interesting articles that people, I think, it'd be worthwhile to read.
People on Twitter, Dave, I know we only have another minute or so left, but what happened actually with the Elsipog Tog tribal First Nations people in New Brunswick last week was really actually shocking, and we don't usually see Indigenous people throwing fire bombs. I mean, have you been following that case?
No, I have not. I'm aware that just in Romania there was a they shut down shale drilling also, which
right.
is something that I had been. But you know, this is going to happen. I mean, it is a while it's important that we have gas, there's also been communities have not been have not really bought into this in a lot of cases. So it's going to continue to happen.
I want to ask you just one last question, Bill. You are traveling around the world and you're lecturing around your book, right? You're a market expert guy. So you must be like debating and looking right at the shale gas pushers right in the face and calling them on their bubble. Basically, they're creating a bubble. How do they respond to you? What kind of response do you get from inside the industry about your book and your work?
Well, I mean, I don't get invited to too many industry events simply because they really don't want to hear this message. But it was when I was in Brussels last week, I had a face-to-face with a gentleman from the Polish delegation, which is adamant, which imports, which uses coal for 95% of its electricity generation.
And, wow!
And they've had, and they actually import coal from Russia, and they've really tried to make shale gas work, and they have not been able to do it. And I just said right to his face, I said, I don't think you're ever going to get this to work. And he said, I don't care. We're going to try it anyway. We're going to keep trying. And now, we've had a lot of the Western companies such as Exxon and Talisman leave Poland because it's not working. And these guys they're having the state oil company continue to drill shale gas wells. And I said, I don't think it's ever going to work. And he just kind of, blew me off and said, I don't care what you think.
That really is the long and the short of it. But there's a lot of things that people can do. And that's it for our show. Bill Powers, I really enjoyed having you on the air. Thank you so much for being with us.
It was great being here, and thank you so much.
Great. And this book, I'm telling you people, Cold, Hungry, and In the Dark, you can get it from the membership drive, even if we're not asking you to in that beautiful moment. That's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Bill Powers. More on his work at bill-powers.com. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.fm. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thank you, March 4th. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for that Paul Rowland show. Learn those words.
Coming up on Africa Oye, Thursday, October 24th, a KBOO Fall Membership Drive special spotlight on the late South African singer Miriam Makeba. During the 1960s, Makeba became the first artist to popularize African music around the world. An outspoken critic of apartheid, Makeba spent 30 years living in exile. I'm Andy Hosh. Join me for this two-hour retrospective on the life and music of Miriam Makeba, Thursday, October 24th, from 2 to 4 p.m., here on KBOO's Africa Oye.
Was that that?
Okay.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 9:01. Coming up next is Political Perspectives with our host, Paul Rowland. We're going to continue our discussion on fracking.
Can you see the sun? Can you feel the wind? Do they tell you anything at all? Or do you care? Or do you care? If the sun should change and the rain should fall, would it matter anything at all? Or do you care? Or do you care? Oh, the circle that we live in is so strong, and the things that